Hey everybody, my name is Mike Johnson, and this is the Success Estate Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think we're going to have a great show. Now today, as you know, as I've talked about for the last 3 weeks or so, the market is still red hot. Things are still crazy out there. I know as far as for buyers, it's still a pretty difficult time getting into homes just because of the amount of competition, especially for new buyers, not really understanding what this new market looks like, coming in being a little timid. People are still getting approved for a good deal of money, which is great. And then also, too, at the same time, there's just not many houses on the market. So it's creating a seller's market where sellers are benefiting the most from this market for decent homes. They are flying off within 2 or 3 days, and that's only because they're allowing people to show for a couple of days and things like that. So it's just really crazy right now. It's a crazy time to be buying or selling. Hopefully you've been able to check out the videos prior to this, which talks about being successful in a successful buyer in a seller's market, and how to be successful as a seller in a seller's market, because I've also seen some sellers really shoot themselves in the foot. But I will say, and anybody that has been watching, I just want to take a moment to thank you. Anybody that's been listening, if you're listening on Spotify or Google Podcasts, whatever form you're listening on, if you're watching on Facebook, thank you so much for taking time to watch this. I hope that you're finding these helpful. If you are, if you're getting any good knowledge from them, if you find it, you feel like you're finding something that would be helpful to you, please, please, please share this with somebody. Share it on the platforms on YouTube or on Facebook, or share your Spotify listening on Facebook or something like that. Share it with somebody in a text message, whatever way you share it, just please share it. And then also too, I'm looking for feedback. If you could tell me things that you may be looking for that you may not be hearing, if you feel like the information is incomplete, if you'd like to hear more, if my show is too long or too short, whatever it may be, I'd love to hear some feedback from you here. You can either email it to me at thejohnsonwayrealty@gmail.com, or you can text me. Give me a call, 903-806-6905. But enough of that. We're going to move forward. Again, today's show is going to be similar to the others with a small twist. We're still talking about the market. We're still talking about being successful as a buyer or seller. Today's podcast will be just a little bit shorter because I just want to give a couple of tips on some unconventional ways of buying and selling. And so in this market, we've had to be very creative. Let me say it like that. We've had to be very creative on how we're getting buyers into homes. The success rate, it feels like we almost, you know, a lot of times we watch HGTV and it looks so easy, but in reality, it's more like it's almost similar to like watching lions and cheetahs and things on Animal Planet. You know, we only watch the success, but not knowing that it, you know, a cheetah succeeds like once every 10 times it goes out to hunt. You know, that's not a lot. They spend a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of effort, only to miss out, you know, on what they were on the hunt for. And I think a lot of buyers are experiencing that right now. A lot of fatigue is happening. A lot of buyers may be feeling like, hey, this just isn't my time. And unfortunately, we have to be honest in that evaluation to see if it actually is the right time for you to be buying or not. If it's not, don't hold your head down. Soon enough, the market will stabilize some, I believe. I gave my predictions on this market about 3 episodes ago and what I think will be happening. And we'll see how it all turns out. The interest rates are so low that it's still compelling people to get back out there. So what can you do? You know, that's the question. What can I do if I'm out here looking for houses? I used to think if you were in between $150,000 to $200,000 about 2 years ago, you didn't have as much competition. Between $100,000 and $150,000, it was still a lot of competition, but you could find a home, because especially because there were more homes hitting the market. Now there's just not that many homes. And the price of those houses are going up, along with the amount that people can afford to purchase. because of those low interest rates. What that means, you know, for a lot of people is like, okay, now that I'm approved for $190,000, thinking, hey, this is plenty of money for me to be able to find what I want. And realizing that it's still tough out there, even at the $200,000 range. What can I do? You know, so I've come up with a couple of things that I put in front of all buyers that I work with. Unless they're cash buyers, you know, I tell them they really got the best shot. But if you're financing, I want to try to give you some ideas on things that you can do in order to be successful in this market and find a house that you're going to love to call home. Right. So the first thing that I suggest looking into, especially if you've already been approved, you know, every place is different. Every lender is different. I always suggest go apply. It's just going to help you. It's going to give you so much confidence to be able to know whether or not you've got the money. Right. And once you know you get the money, that's confidence. You can move forward and find a house in your price range and find something that you're going to love to call home. But if you've been approved already and you not finding a house that you want already together and you have some time. Now, this is for somebody that's, you know, you have to have a I'm not sure exactly on the credit score. I'm hoping to have this person on, a person from this company on to be able to talk about it. But you do have to have a strong credit score. It's an opportunity basically to find a house that may not be exactly like you wanted at the time, but has the potential to be. And if you had a little extra funds, you would be able to turn it into that house you would love to call home. This is a loan at Eastman Credit Union here in East Texas called the Purchase Plus Loan. And I've been fortunate enough now to work with somebody that actually utilized this loan. I've had some people that have been approved for it, never utilized it. I just had somebody actually close on it. Shout out to Miss Latasha McCray for her recent closing on a house. Now, the house we walked into, we saw this house twice. This is a little backstory. We saw this house twice. We went in. The house wasn't in the condition that she wanted it. Right, but we were having trouble because she was in that very competitive range. And so what happened is we ended up seeing that the house had all the space needed. It had the bathrooms, had a nice little yard, lots of different things. But it just wasn't up to her living standards, what she really wanted to live in. There was some carpet missing in rooms and things like that. So what ends up happening, we go and look at other houses. Not many. It was a sprinkle of houses at the time hitting the market in our price range. And we went back. Well, I talked to her one day and I said, hey, well, you know, you got approved at this place, but what about considering this Purchase Plus loan? You know, and anybody that that is ready to move, it's hard to consider, hey, I'm going to have a contractor come in. They're going to do bids. You know, it actually is a few more steps into getting under contract and getting your loan approved. But this loan here, this is on their website. They said this is a program that helps home buyers both purchase and renovate a new home with one loan and one payment, right? The great thing about it is that it's 100% financing on the purchase price, right? So you don't have to bring a down payment. You do have to pay closing costs, but you may be able to negotiate that depending on the property that you get into. And you get up to $30,000 for upgrades and renovations. The total of the loan cannot exceed 105% of the appraised value for maintenance and upgrades. And it can exceed 100% of the appraised value for cosmetic upgrades and renovations. Now that's, so the difference in those, so if you got a house that, you know, needs some work to be in a good livable condition, they can give you up to 105% of the appraised value. That's considering the improvements that you're making. So what happened in this process? She got a pre-approval letter. We went, saw the house, made an offer on the house. The offer got accepted. Before we made an offer, we had a bid. We got a contractor in. He gave us a bid. We put an offer in. It was under that $30,000 mark. We put an offer in minus the amount, the total amount, minus the bid amount. And so then afterwards, after we got under contract, after we got under contract, now we had to have an appraisal done. The appraisal came back considering the upgrades and everything that was going to be done to it. And at that point, she got approved for that as well. So after all that, now we come to closing. She's going to be now the work, the construction part is starting. I won't go into all the details. You know, I don't like talking people's money on here or what they're paying or anything like that. But that's a brief example. And now a house that people were passing over, she has some leverage to be able to negotiate some things. People that were passing over because it wasn't ready to be lived in, she actually got a chance to come in, and now she's going to have the house looking like she wants it. It's gonna get a facelift. It's gonna get lots of different things, and then so now she's gonna have a place that she enjoys, and she got a chance to stay under her budget, right? So all those things were super helpful for her. It's something that I'm encouraging a lot of buyers to look into. Another renovation loan is a 203K loan. I haven't personally had anybody use that yet. But I do know that it is out there and it's available. So if you're applying for a loan, I would just ask, like, hey, is the 203K, the FHA renovation loan available? The problem is with the FHA loan, when people see FHA in this market, it's kind of the low man on the totem pole. That VA, they're kind of the low man on the totem pole as far as consideration of offers. Cash is king. Conventional loans are great because with cash, some people may waive the appraisal. There's no other hands saying, hey, you got to get all these things approved before walking into the home. You don't have to have a survey and things like that. You can, when you bring cash, you and the seller decide what's going to be a requirement on the loan. I mean, on the purchase. But when you do a conventional, now you still have to have the surveys, you still have to have the appraisal done and things like that. But there's not the conventional loans aren't as stringent on the condition of the home, right? FHA loans, VA loans, things have to be a certain way. There are some things that will keep a house from being able to close if they're not repaired by the seller or repaired somehow. I don't know if the buyers may be able to, you know, pay that bill as well. But I just wouldn't suggest that for a house you haven't closed on. So in consideration, FHA loans are just not deemed as desirable as conventional loans, right? So I would do my best to get something like this Purchase Plus loan, which is a conventional 100% loan, and then be able to do those renovations, right? So that's something that I think is very beneficial for buyers, because we do see some houses hit the market that are, you know, they're in good neighborhoods. They haven't been updated at all. They may need a new roof on it or something like that. Things like that you may be able to get the house that you want and the price range that you want and have a personal touch on it. So I think that's a big benefit. Another thing, and this is one other way to purchase out, because cash is king right now. And I'm going to have a friend of mine on soon, especially if y'all give me feedback, say you want to hear this story soon. But I just talked to him recently, and he talked about how he purchased his house cash. Now, he didn't have the cash. He actually got it out of his retirement. He's a younger man when he bought it. He's in his low 30s, and he pulled out his retirement. He had been working hard, put a lot of money into his retirement. His company was matching. He actually pulled the money out and used that towards the purchase of his house. Now, that's super important. I use my 401k. When we bought our house, I use my 401k for a down payment, because you don't get taxed when you have your you don't get taxed when you are using your retirement towards a home purchase. Now, why that's important and why that's good for you is because at the same time, when it's a loan, but that loan is to you. So you'll be paying yourself back over time, the money that you borrowed out. And it's always great to pay yourself back. You can lend from yourself. You can borrow from yourself. That's just an excellent thing. So that's another thing you may want to consider. You may want to talk to if you got Fidelity or somebody like that, whoever you got for your retirement plan, ask them, what kind of options do I have with this money for purchasing a home? You'll be surprised with some of the information that you receive back, right? So those are a couple of tips for buyers, some unconventional ways that you could buy a house in this market and be successful, right? Switching over to the seller side, I also want to give this particular type of seller some advice. So a lot of times people are wanting to buy a house, they want to upgrade or downgrade or whatever. I mean, or downsize, not downgrade, but downsize their home. Well, in this market, a lot of people, if you're looking to sell and use the money from the proceeds from the sale in order for the next purchase, we used to use what's called a contingent offer. Now, you may see it on RealtorZillow.com if you're a buyer. You're looking on there and it says contingent. Most of those are contingent upon loan approval. That's for people that are working with, those are people that are working with a lender in order to purchase. If you see more like pending or something like that, a lot of times those are cash purchases. So that's just a little bit of difference. Now, the contingency offer that I'm talking about is contingent upon sale of another property. Right now, if you are trying to buy a home and it's contingent and if you want a nice home right now, you're hit. Let me put it like that. Because there are the cash offers, the conventional offers, the FHA, the VA or USDA if you're out there in the country and or rural areas, let me say it like that. And then probably at the very, very bottom is contingent offers because it's just for a lot of people, it's no point in taking the risk. When you have a contingent upon sale, that means the seller has to complete the sale of their home so that they can use the proceeds and buy yours. That's going to be tough. That's going to be very, very tough for sellers to accept in this market. So if you're a seller and you're wanting to buy, so this is the specific kind of seller, you're selling in order to buy another using the proceeds, maybe want to upgrade or downsize. Here's an idea, and this just happened recently. I thought it was a cool idea. When it was posted, I couldn't figure out why the sale of this property was contingent upon getting a two-month temporary lease. Now, some transactions can be negotiated. Most of them, most times you receive a home upon closing and funding of a loan, right? So, or upon closing and funding of a sale, not a loan. So that means the title's done all they're supposed to do, everything's been signed off, and the money has been received, then the property becomes yours as a buyer. For this scenario, sometimes people come in with what's called a seller's temporary lease, right? So that basically means that once the house has closed and funded, it becomes the buyer's. Now the seller is now renting or leasing from the buyer until a certain date. They normally pay a daily fee. Normally they have deposits and all these things, all these different protections for the buyer, which will then be the owner. In case the seller doesn't do what they're supposed to do. Well, this, I couldn't understand. I was like, why is this, you know, this house being put on with the understanding that they're going to need a two-month lease afterwards? Well, it was because they wanted to sell their house, right, get under contract with a buyer, sell it as quickly as possible, and then the 2 months that they had leased, they were going to be searching for another home. So they took the proceeds out of the sale of this home, and then they use that towards purchasing another while paying a lease and not having to be displaced after the sale of their home. Because not everybody has a place to go once you sell your home, you know. So that becomes a big issue. Like, I can't sell now because I don't have anywhere to go. Well, if you feel pretty sure that you can get qualified for a good number, you're not going to be in the super competitive range of like $120,000, $150,000 or so. You may get up a little higher, especially. I would definitely consider selling your home first with a temporary lease so that you're not displaced and using that time period to get your house, your new house bought. That could be, I know that's a lot of stress, but it is a way to possibly be successful in that. All you would do is when you list your home for sale, you just be up front, you know, and have your agent put it in the remarks that this house, the understanding of selling this house is that you're also going to be asking for a 2-month lease. Now, I thought that may be a deterrent for some people. You know, the buyer that I was working with still got an offer in, and unfortunately we got beat out because there were still people that came and wanted to put an offer down, which was surprising to me. People basically were waiting 3 months. That basically gives you 3 months. So if you take 30 days, you get the house under closed, then you take another 2 months after that. It's basically 3 months that a buyer would not be moving into the house, could possibly not be moving into the house. So those things are super important to think about as a buyer or seller. But that is a way that I believe you could also be successful. We've had to be really creative as agents, as sellers, or buyers. We had to be really creative on how to get our goals and our dreams met and reached. This is just another way that you could utilize, something you can put in your tool belt and think about, is this a good option for you? You can take a look at the market. I would say sit down with your agent. If you don't have an agent, give me a call and let's sit down and take a look at what your timeline is and what you may be able to accomplish. All right. Thank you so much. I hope that you enjoyed these tips today. I'm hoping next week we'll have a guest back on. We're going to try to get our guest back on. We got some really good things coming your way over the next several months. I think you're going to enjoy some of the conversations that we have with very interesting people, with very interesting takes on house buying and selling, and then also to some professionals for the ownership side, because we don't want to forget that. If there are things that you would like to hear about on the show, please send me an email at thejohnsonwayrealty@gmail.com. That way I can start figuring out ways to have that show, that information available for you. All right. I hope you enjoyed. If you did enjoy, please like, share, subscribe. Those three things are monumental. If you comment, it's even better. That's just a cherry on top. But all those things help towards being able to bring you more information to help you be more confident in your home ownership, buying, selling, or investing. Okay. All right. With that being said, y'all, that's my time for today. If you got any questions, reach out to me, 903-806-6905. My name is Mike Johnson, and this has been the Success Estate Podcast. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next week.